Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to today's webcast. Thank you once again for joining us, wherever you are in the world. As you can see, I'm on my own this evening. Barry and Anne are at the School of Ministry in Toronto, where they're teaching all week. Just me. Barry's been doing teaching sessions in the mornings, and I think he finishes on Friday lunchtime. But seems to be going well for them. Had a text from him a bit earlier to say it was all going well, so that's good. And just next week, Barry will also not be with us because he's doing some sessions for a school of ministry which John Arnott's leading in Mexico next week, and Barry's doing some sessions remotely for that. So he'll be doing a Zoom session at the webcast time next week. So he's away for a couple of weeks. But next week, I'm delighted to have a guest with us, a friend of mine called Liam Thatcher. He's one of the pastors of our church in Oxford. And I just invited him just to come and join in and share his heart. And he's always good. He's always a great speaker, lots of stories, lots of fun. And he's actually very used to doing a lot of stuff with technology as well. So I'm sure he'll fit right in. So next week it will be me with my guest, Liam, and just invite you to join us for that one as well. A couple of other things that are happening over the next few weeks. Next Thursday, a week tomorrow, I fly to Poland again. seems like I only got back 10 days ago. But I go to Poland next Thursday just for a weekend conference with a fairly large church in a city called Kalisz. And it's a church that a lot of people come to our schools from. It's a church that I think in the past have had Jack Winter and Jack Frost as guest speakers, you know, many, many years ago. So this whole revelation of the Father is kind of embedded into that church. And it's just a great privilege and honor to be there for a weekend conference. So I'll be flying on Thursday and doing sessions all day Friday, all day Saturday, and then Sunday in the church. And then flying back Sunday evening. So that's next week. And the week after that, I'm in Germany for a weekend. Again, flying out on Thursday, doing sessions Friday evening, all day Saturday and Sunday, coming back Monday that time. So for me, next couple of weekends away, but pretty much around on the Wednesdays for the webcast for the next few weeks. So, get straight into what we want to talk about today. I want to talk about how we can become sons appropriate to the Father. Now, the title says sons appropriate to the Father. Let me just make a statement at the beginning. This includes everybody. You know, Paul says in Galatians, we are all sons of God through our faith in Christ. So this is included. This is inclusive. This is for the boys and the girls. No one is excluded. And it's really, I just want to talk a little bit about how, you know, we become sons and daughters appropriate to who the Father is. Whenever I think of this topic, I think of the royal family in Britain. And I think of, you know, Prince William, Princess Kate, Prince Edward and Sophie, Princess Anne. And, you know, really how they live such a beautiful life, such an example, and how they really serve their father or their brother who's the king. And, you know, how they, whenever they do a public event, they represent him. And you can see they carry kind of that anointing, if you like, of being royal. I know when they close the door and they're back home, you know, they're just family and they just have a lot of fun and they're just like the rest of us. But it's like when they're on duty, they are okay, and their sons, Prince William's a son to his dad, and really kind of like, you know, a son who's appropriate to the king. And then the others, like Prince Edward, Princess Anne, you know, they are brothers and sisters to the king, but they really represent him and honor the king very, very well. And it's like, you know, as we grow as sons and daughters, we too represent the father to this broken, messed up world. And, you know, it's not about any performance. It's not about striving. It's not about pretense. It's none of those things. It's really just who we are and what the Father has done in our heart and how his life flows into us, flows through us and flows out of us. You know, the moment we try and pretend or behave in a particular way, people see through that. It's not about, it's about being authentic. It's about being genuine. It's about walking as Jesus walked. And yeah, I think one of the things sometimes we perhaps kind of lose sight of is if we're going to walk as Jesus walked, that is inevitably going to involve a transformation of our heart. It's inevitably going to involve change. Somebody raised a question with me the other day, and they said, you know, the problem is, they said, whenever I talk to Father Heart people, and I'm thinking, oh no, what's coming? You know, whenever I talk to Father Heart people, they said, it's like sin doesn't matter, you know, because God loves us anyway. Well, you know, of course, God does love us anyway, and that's all true. And I thought about that for a moment, and I thought, well, actually, it's nothing to do with the Father Heart revelation. In one sense, it's when we are born again, our sin is dealt with once and for all. It was dealt with by Jesus on the cross. So there is that very, very real sense that when we become Christians, we don't have to worry about our sin. However, I then said to them, we don't have to worry about our sin being dealt with because that's all dealt with, but we should be concerned, or we should worry about sinning in an ongoing way, you know, because if we are being transformed to become like Jesus, and if we're going to walk as Jesus walked, then, and as we grow in relationship with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, then the reality is we should sin less, and we should be concerned if we get into a pattern, you know, of sin or a habit of sin. You know, because we want to walk away from that and to begin to walk in the purity and, you know, the new life that is ours through Jesus. So I said, you know, my reply was, we don't need to worry about our sin, but we should be concerned about us sinning, you know, in an ongoing way. Because those are two very, very different things. And it's, you know, what I was really kind of, I suppose, hinting at there was this transformation that takes place in our hearts when we begin to walk as Jesus walked. And so I just kind of want to unpack that a little bit and see where we go with it, and maybe just throw out a few things which I, you know, trust will be helpful for us as we're on this journey. You know, that I think the other thing I just want to say at the beginning, like I said, it's not about pretense. It's not about superficiality. It's not about trying to be something that we're not, but equally it's you know, we don't need to get into condemnation. There will be times when we make mistakes. There will be times when we blow it. There will be times when things go wrong. And Paul writes in Romans, there is no condemnation for those who are now in Christ Jesus. And, you know, condemnation is a weapon that the enemy uses to push us down and push us under and try to destroy the life. You know, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. And we know that the enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy. And so, you know, it's important to have those just two things as a kind of foundation at the beginning of this. It's not about pretense. It's not about trying to be something we're not. And it's not allowing ourselves to fall into condemnation, but it's looking at the river of life that is flowing in us and how we are being transformed into that greater glory that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're being transformed from one degree of glory to another. Romans 8 verse 28, 29, I think it says, we're being transformed into the likeness of his son. And so really, I just kind of want to just talk a little bit about this journey of transformation, because I believe it's really kind of an important thing for us to grasp hold of. I read through the letters, Peter's letters, a few weeks ago, you know, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And I saw these letters in a new light when I was reading them through. I saw them in the light of sonship, of what it looks like to be a son or daughter. And Peter, in his letters, both letters, gives us a lot of pointers, a lot of indicators on how our lives can become more like Jesus, how we can, as John said in his letter, how we begin to walk as Jesus walked. And that is the fruit, I believe, of us living in the love of the Father. You know, when we have an encounter with the love of the Father, it begins to change everything. You know, one of the first things we encounter is the brokenness and the woundedness in our heart is healed, and we need that. And it's like, and some people stop there. Some people say, oh, this revelation of the Father's love is all about inner healing. Well, it's about inner healing, but it's not all about inner healing, because there's a journey that the Father takes us on, that yes, he does heal our hearts. Yes, he does bind up the brokenhearted. He does comfort those who mourn. And you know, we talk about comfort a lot on this webcast, because it's so fundamental and so important for all of us to receive and to go on receiving. But when we have an encounter with the Father and his love, yes, he does heal our hearts, but he's got a greater plan in mind. And that plan is for us to live as sons and daughters. It's to enter into sonship and to walk as Jesus walked. And that's this process, that's this journey that we're on. And so I just want to dip into the letters of that Peter wrote and pull out a few things for us today. So I want to start with 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, which says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know, grow in the grace and knowledge. That's got a change built into it, hasn't it? You know, we don't stay static. Something changes. You know, it grows, it gets bigger. Something gets bigger inside of us. You know, our understanding of the grace of God, our understanding of the knowledge of who he is, grows inside of us. And the second verse I just want to highlight at the beginning is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. It says, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. You know, there's an exhortation there. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. It's talking about the transformation of our heart and how, as we get to know the Father more, he takes us on this journey that purifies us and sanctifies us and brings us to a place. Actually, it's a place of greater freedom, because sin, you know, Hebrews, it says sin so easily entangles. You know, sin wraps us up. It holds us as a prisoner, and it restricts the flow of life in our hearts. And so when we begin to walk in sonship, there is going to be inevitably this transformation of our lives. You know, our heart will be changed, our habits will be changed, our mind, our will, our emotions will be changed, because the Father is bringing us into a greater depth of relationship with him. You know, this is I often call this transformation the beauty of process. Some of you may have heard me talk on this before, but there was one time, you know, I was annoyed with God because things were not changing in my life as quickly as I would have liked them to. And I just said to him one day, out of frustration, you know, like we do, why don't you just flick the switch and sort me out? And, you know, what I felt him say was, you know, if I did that, it wouldn't be a relationship. It would be a clinical, almost scientific experience. And he then said to me, it's the beauty of process that keeps you seeking me and desiring relationship. And that's stuck with me. You know, it's the beauty of process that keeps you seeking me. See, Barry and I often have our magnets, don't we? You know, those of you who've been on the webcast, you'll have seen us with our magnets, two boys with their toys. But it's like the magnet of the Father's love, the magnet of who he is, draws us closer and closer and closer to him until we kind of lock together in relationship. And he said, you know, I found the Father say that occasion, it's, you know, can you see the process as something beautiful? And I guess for many of us, sometimes it's not. You know, sometimes we don't feel that the process is beautiful. Sometimes it's painful, it's hard, it's challenging. But I found him say, can you see the process as beautiful? Because it's that beauty of the process, the beauty of the journey that keeps us locked into him so that we seek him and we desire him. You know, sometimes the journey is tough, you know, and it's challenging, but other times it's just that's that season of receiving and joy and just going deeper with him. And you know, in whether it's a tough season or a more joyful season, there's still that beauty of the process of getting to know him in a deeper way, so that we really get to know that he's being a father to us. You know, I've mentioned it already, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And this journey, this beauty of process is to lead us further along this path of walking as Jesus walked. It's not a one-off event. You know, our Christianity, our faith is a journey. It's hopefully a lifelong journey, you know. It's not a single event. It's not even a series of events. It's all of the time between the events as well as the events. You know, sometimes we define our life by the events that happen, but actually, in between the events are just as important. They're just a time to be with him, to get to know him, and to you know, just to get to understand who he is. You know, when I became a Christian when I was 10 years old, and I remember very vividly, I remember the night, I remember what the speaker in the youth meeting spoke about, I remember the response of my heart, and but I knew when I made that commitment as a 10-year-old boy, I knew it was a lifelong commitment. I knew it was a lifelong journey. And sure, you know, I've had ups and downs. I remember my teenage years when I was at school, there were times I wasn't close to God at all. And I didn't want to be close to him. But, you know, I always knew he was there. And, you know, I've always wanted to get to know him more and get to know him in a deeper way. I've always wanted more of the Holy Spirit. And I think one of the questions Fiona and I have is where is the more? Because that's the cry, that's the desire of our heart. You see, this is a process, it's a journey. And let's see it as something beautiful because it's bringing us into a deeper relationship with him. You know, we often talk about comfort on the webcast. We receive comfort and we go on receiving comfort. We talk about forgiveness. We forgive and we go on forgiving. We walk in forgiveness. You know, we open our heart and we go on opening our heart. You know, we receive love and we go on receiving love. You see, what we experience is the active and ongoing relationship that the Father wants to have with us. You know, he wants to be a Father to us now and every day. He wants us to live in relationship with him. But we all know, don't we, that sometimes it feels a little bit like God is hiding, you know. But when he plays hide and seek, he plays hide and seek like, you know, I played with my kids and like I play with my grandchildren. You know, when I hide from my grandsons, I don't hide so they can't find me. You know, if I go and hide behind a tree, I hide behind a tree that is smaller than me so they can see me. You know, if I'm hiding in the house, I leave the room door or the cupboard door open. You know, I hide in such a way that they can find me easily. And of course, every time my grandsons find me, there is such joy in them. You know, as far as they're concerned, I've hidden away totally. And they don't know that I've kind of hidden in plain sight. And I think it's a little bit like that with the Lord. He hides from us in plain sight because not only does he want us to seek him, but he wants us to find him. You know, he's never too hidden that we can't find him. And I love Psalm 27. It's one of my favorite psalms. It's the psalm I go to, you know, in times of trouble, in times of difficulty. It's the place I run to because it's so rich. And I just put a couple of verses from Psalm 27 here on the screen. You know, one thing have I asked of the Lord. This is what I'll seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. See, isn't that beautiful? The desire, the longing for the Lord. You know, this is what I want, he said, the psalmist says. David says, this is what I want. This is what I'm giving myself to. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want to be in the center of his presence. I want to see him. I want to get to know him. You know, just that longing to be in the Lord's presence and gazing upon his beauty. It does the psalmist good, and I believe as we read it, it does us good too. The second part of those verses, he will hide me in the shelter, in his shelter. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and he will lift me high upon a rock. You know, I love that. He takes us and he draws us into a safe place. He hides us in his presence. But then what he does is he lifts us up onto a rock. And it's like he's showing us off from that safe place of his presence, that safe place of being, you know, in his shelter, covered by his protection. It's like he puts us on show and he shows us off to our enemies. You know, my head shall be lifted above all my enemies around me. And it's like the Lord, it's like the Father says, here are my children and you can't get them, you know, because we're safe. And so as we seek him, as we make it a priority to seek him and to find the beauty of who he is, we discover this beautiful, intimate, safe place where actually what the Father does is he shows us off to our enemies. We often fear our enemies, and we feel like they overwhelm us or they're stronger than us, but he says, I'm going to show you off. I'm going to make you look good in front of your enemies. You know, Lamentations chapter 3. You know, we know those verses a bit early, you know, the first part of the chapter, it's a very depressing picture of how everything is going wrong and how there's a lot of pressure and how it's just horrible. I mean, Jeremiah, who wrote this, he's going through a bad time, but he remembers something. You know, he says, this I call to mind. It's like in the midst of his despair, he remembers something. And he said, this I remember this, he said, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Isn't that beautiful? That even in the place of total despair, we can remember the steadfast love of the Lord. And that's what gives us hope. You know, that we are loved and that God is for us and that he will bring us into a safe place and then show us off in front of all of our enemies. You know, his mercies are new every morning. That's the steadfast rock, if you like, upon which our lives need to be built. You know, if we have any other foundation other than that, we're building our lives on sand. And so my first encouragement is find that place of safety and security in him. And let the roots of your life go down deep into that. May the bedrock of your life be the steadfast love of the Lord. Because that's never going to let you down. And this journey of sonship that we're on, it is a journey of transformation. It's the transformation of our heart. And the thing about transformation is it's not always comfortable. Because transformation implies change. And we know that change is not always nice. Change is not always comfortable. We don't always welcome that change. It's like, oh no, here we go again. And sometimes when the Father is putting his finger on stuff in our lives, as part of this transformation, as part of this beauty of the process, it's not comfortable. And sometimes we kind of like want to run. You know, I know I was doing the Father Heart School in Poland a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, in those weeks, as many of you will know, there are times of great pain as the wounds and the pain and the brokenness that have been buried in people's lives really since childhood. You start to come to the surface and the Father begins to heal them. You know, it's painful and we don't like pain. We don't like that sort of change in a sense, but if we can see beyond it, it kind of gives us hope to go through it. You know, it's like Jesus said, for the joy of what was beyond the cross, he endured the cross. You know, he endured his suffering because he knew that beyond it, there was a greater joy. And it's the same for us. We'll never experience anything like Jesus did on the cross, of course. But, you know, those times of suffering, they can sometimes feel like they are huge. And sometimes it looks like there's no end to them. But if we can just hang on to the fact that there is something beyond, and they will end, they will come to an end, and our heart will be healed, and our lives will be changed, and the stuff that has dogged us and bothered us for years will fall away, and we will begin to see change in our lives. And if we can look forward to that change, it motivates us and helps us to get through the process, because change is not always comfortable. You know, Romans 8:29, I've already said it, we're being changed or conformed into the likeness of Jesus, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another. And this is, I just really want to emphasize again, this transformation is not brought about by our own effort or performance. You know, if I try to be better, if I try to be good, if I try to behave differently, I can manage it for a day or 2 days or a week or 3 weeks. But I kind of struggle to maintain it on my own, in my own strength. So this journey of sonship, this transformation, is not brought about by our own effort or performance, but it's brought about by the power of love working in us. And it's a transformation that causes us to be rooted and grounded in love. Just read a couple more verses from Peter's letters. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The opening kind of couple of sentences, really to define what Peter's going to be talking about in his letter. You know, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. See, we know from Ephesians that from before the creation of the world, we were chosen, we were predestined to be sons and daughters. That's God's plan. You know, before the creation of the world, he wanted a family. He wanted sons and daughters. And Peter reminds us of this here. You know, we were chosen by the foreknowledge, God's foreknowledge, and he chose us so that we would be sanctified. And that word sanctified, it means to be set apart, to become holy. And that's the process of change, is to make us holy as Jesus is holy. And the second thing Peter highlights in that verse is that we become obedient to Jesus Christ. Now, when we read John chapter 14, Jesus says something three times in that chapter. And I think sometimes we misunderstand it or we hear it incorrectly. Our heart interprets it the wrong way. See, what Jesus says three times is, he says, if you love me, you will obey me. Now, our perception of what he has said is if we obey him, then eventually he will love us. You know, that's our perception because of our experience. And actually, it's totally the wrong perception, because if we love someone, that love that we have for that other person will motivate us to be obedient, to serve them, to walk with them. And so love becomes the motivation for obedience, rather than obedience becoming the way to earn love. Or very often we see love as the reward for obedience. But Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus is very, very clear. And to say it three times in such a short space of time, it's got to be important. You know, if you love me, you will obey me. And so obedience to the Lord comes out of a heart that is loved. And, you know, if we love him and his love is being poured into our heart, you know, why wouldn't we want to walk in his ways? Ezekiel 36 says that. Ezekiel 36, verse 27. It says he will put his spirit in us, and his spirit will cause us or motivate us to walk in his ways. And so Peter highlights for us, you know, yes, we've been chosen. And I think sometimes it's very easy for us to dwell on our chosenness. Because yes, we have been chosen. We've been chosen to be sons and daughters. He's poured his love into our hearts. But there is a fruit that will come in our lives as we are sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit and as we walk in obedience to his ways. And, you know, I think sometimes we don't want to go there. you know, we want to stay with the chosen bit. But actually, when we read Paul's letters, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it's the Spirit living in us produces love. The Spirit living in us produces joy. The Spirit living in us produces peace. And the more the Spirit lives in us, the more joy we will have, the more peace we will have, and patience too. You know, all of these things are not a result of self-effort or performance. They're the result of the Holy Spirit working in us. And so what we discover is there is a greater joy that comes out of our deeper relationship with the Father. And as a result, we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And like I've just said, we become motivated to walk in his ways. Ezekiel 36, 27, we want to live a life worthy of the calling we've received. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. And within us, within our heart, there's a desire to do his will because his law is in our heart. Psalm 40 verse 8. And if that transformation is going to take place, it means for us we have to let go of stuff. It means we have to bring ourselves in line with his word. It means there will be times when we have to take up our cross and follow. And that may not be easy. It may not even be desirable. I mean, Jesus said the gate is narrow and few will enter it. But yet, if there's that longing in our heart for a deeper relationship, then the price is worth paying. You know, Jesus spoke about the pearl of great price, that, you know, there's something that we're pursuing that is worth everything. You know, I just remind you of that verse in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 55. If you're thirsty, come. Come without money, come buy and eat. You know, it's like, it doesn't cost anything, it's free. And yet Jesus has those two stories, the parables of the pearl of great price, where, you know, the joy of getting hold of something, you go out and sell everything to get hold of that pearl of great price. And I put those two together sometimes and say, it's free, but it will cost you everything. And it's sometimes there is that cost. Sometimes there is that challenge. Sometimes our own nature is challenged. And many people stop there. They don't want to move through that because they're comfortable in their life and the way things are. But actually, what Jesus is doing is he's calling us into a deeper relationship. You know, Jesus said, I will reveal the Father to you and I will go on revealing the Father. And so what he's doing is Jesus is showing us that there's a greater revelation of the Father for us to have. But to get that greater revelation of the Father, sometimes we have to let go of things. And we do it not because of performance or following a set of rules. We do it simply because of the desire that's in our heart to have a greater revelation of who the Father is. You know, Peter said, you know, in 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 6 and 7, you know, he said that there's going to be sufferings, trials and hardships. You know, he says, in all of this, greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. See, that's reality. A recognition of suffering, a recognition of trials, a recognition of hardship, but they come to lead us into a deeper place with him. You know, they prove our faith and they take us to a new level, a greater level of intimacy, a greater level of relationship, a greater level of trust and faith in who the Father is. So, you know, the second challenge, I guess, today is, can you see your sufferings? Can you see your hardship? Can you see your trials as the pathway to a deeper encounter with him? Because all of these things allow us to find a new and deeper expression of his love for us. You know, we can discover in a new way, in a fresh way, that God is being a father to us. We can experience that sense of being carried by our Father. And so, what do we do in suffering? What do we do in hardship? What do we do with those trials? Do we want to run away? Sometimes we do. Of course we do. Or do we run into him in the midst of our trials and suffering? And I believe if we run into him in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our grief, in the midst of our suffering, then we will find we will have a greater encounter with him. See, we're becoming like Jesus. And it's a word perhaps we don't use very often. We are being purified, we're being made holy. And our roots are going down deeper and deeper into love. You know, Jesus was free in a hostile world. And I guess my question for us today is, are we free in a hostile world? Because a transformed life will show off the Father through our character and the peace that we discover in the middle of the storm. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast your cares, cast your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. John 16, verse 33, John says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Let's cast our cares, cast our anxiety, cast our burdens onto him and find that greater level of peace in the midst of the storm. Just want to finish with a few verses from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10, where Peter writes about us becoming a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people. And you know, I believe there's something for us to receive into our heart by revelation. It doesn't come as a result of our own effort, but it's a gift of grace to us. And I would encourage you later on to read that passage in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. But let me just draw out some of the things Peter says about us. And, you know, I guess in a sense, this is what it means to be a son or daughter that is appropriate to the Father. Because in that passage that Peter writes there in that chapter, it's talking about the transformation of our heart and how we become more like Jesus. And so what he says is, he says you become spiritual, you become more spiritual, you become holy. You're chosen. You're a royal priesthood. You know, you're God's special possession. You've been called out of darkness into mercy. And all of these things do not describe a single event, but they describe for us the fruit of the journey of transformation. They describe for us the beauty of process. They describe for us the things that will take place in our heart, take place in our life as we become like Jesus. We will become more spiritual. You know, that will not be spiritual in inverted commas. That will be just our natural personality, our natural character, because his life is in us, his spirit is in us. So we will become more spiritual. We will become more holy, not through performance or works, but through the work of his spirit in us. We are a chosen, and I believe we will know that in a greater way, you know, and to know our identity in a greater way, that he has called us and, you know, he set us apart, and he says, you know, I've got a purpose and a plan for you. You know, I've got things for you to do in this world. I've got good works that I prepared in advance for you to do. You know, we're a royal priesthood. You know, we're not unworthy. We're not rejected. We're not second class. We are royal. We're royalty. You know, we're sons and daughters, but we're princes and princesses. You know, we're God's special possession. You know, he's a father who takes great delight in his kids. And, you know, he created us to bring him pleasure. You know, we're special to him. We're the apple of his eye. You know, isn't that wonderful that the God of the universe looks at us as his special possession? We're called out of darkness into mercy, his mercy. And, you know, the danger is we and whenever we try and create that through our own effort, we get worn out. He doesn't want us to create any of those things through our own effort. He wants us to receive it as a gift of grace that works within us and changes us and transforms us to be like his son. Because we are his sons and daughters. And I really believe as we go on this journey of transformation, as we allow ourselves to be taken to a deeper place, as we allow this journey to increase our revelation of him and our knowledge of him and our intimacy with him, you know, the beauty of it is that we will see these things growing in our life. We will see the fruit of the Spirit growing in our life. We will see the gifts of the Spirit becoming more evident in our life, because we will be becoming like Jesus, and it will be the most natural thing on earth to do. And actually, it will be a lot of freedom. You know, this is who we are. And as we go into this broken, messed up world, we represent the Father. We show people what the Father's like. We can lead people to Jesus so that they can go to the Father. We can see them filled with his Spirit. You know, we've got so much that the world needs. And yes, the Father wants to heal our hearts. He wants to comfort those who mourn. He wants to bind up the brokenhearted. He loves to do that. And he will go on doing that with us for the rest of our lives. But at the same time, he wants to bring us into this place of freedom and peace, where we carry his Spirit into this world. And just as the royal family represent the king, we will represent him. And people will want to know why we are different. And you might not think you're an evangelist, but if you start telling people about the transforming power of love, then you will be an evangelist, because the transforming power of love is what this world is crying out for. And when you tell people what's happened in your life, when they see the peace that you live in and they want that peace for themselves, you'll be able to lead them and point them to the one who has always been their father. And so this is a journey. I believe for the rest of my life, I will be struggling with the ups and downs, struggling with my frailty, with my humanity. But I also want to see his work, at his transforming power at work in me, so that I become more like Jesus, so that I carry his spirit in me, which motivates me more and more to walk in his ways. You know, that's what it's all about, walking in sonship, being sons and daughters appropriate to who our Heavenly Father is, and bringing his kingdom to this broken, messed up world. Let me just pray as we finish. Father, thank you for your great love. And I just pray, Father, that you'd pour your love into our hearts today. Father, we just pour your love into our hearts, again, afresh, by your Spirit, that we would have an encounter with you. And Father, I just ask that each one of us would experience your transforming power in our lives. Each one of us would be transformed by the power of your love. And I just simply ask, Father, that you would help us to see this process as something beautiful, not as something to be feared, but as the way we get to know you in a deeper way, the way we get taken to a deeper level with you, the way our roots go down deeper and you become the source of our life and our energy. So Father, I just pray you'd bless all my brothers and sisters, and you'd go on pouring your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and cause us, Father, cause us to become like your Son Jesus, that we would walk as he walks in sonship and in relationship with you. Father, thank you for your great love, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for being with us. Thank you for those of you who watch the video later. I trust this has been helpful. This is the journey that the Father has us on, and he longs, you know, that we get to know him better. So have a good week, everybody. I'll see you next week with my guest Liam, and looking forward to that. But have a good week, and we'll see you soon.